And the same is true today. We see valuations now changing dramatically, or people having a very diverse view of what valuation of the same property should be. And there will be a lot of losers in this market, and there will be some winners as well.
Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Rent to Retires, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode. And I am joined today by Laura Krashakova. She is the CEO of Smart Capital Center. And we are going to talk about some of the interesting products that she's bringing to market. So Laura, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, excited. Thank you, Adam, for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your origin story. You know, how did you get started in real estate? Where did you start? And kind of how have you built up your career in the real estate industry?
Sure. I'm focusing on technology-enabled services in real estate market, income-generating real estate market. So we help, we develop the platform that helps property owners underwrite, analyze properties very fast and accurately. Literally bank quality valuation we provide within hours. And we help manage the rest of the process, acquisition of the property, getting financing, and disposition of the property, and everything in between, including managing the property as you hold it in your portfolio. But back to your question in terms of what the origins are, I guess my story is maybe not as straightforward. Well, I guess it's never straightforward for anybody who's in real estate. I am previously in my prior life, I was a banker, investment banker working on Wall Street. And when I graduated from business school, it was in 07. And I worked on Wall Street in bulge bracket banks during 07, 08, 09, 10. And if we all know, it's a horrible time. Horrible time in the US and an even worse time in real estate. And at the time, I worked on a lot of real estate deals. Or rather attempts to do deals, get financing for REITs that were going under the water, or recapitalizing some of those REITs, or trying to sell non-performing insurance portfolios, real estate portfolios owned by insurance companies and so forth. If you remember that time, it was a pretty turbulent time. And what I saw there is, especially like when you work on a multi-billion dollar transaction, you still have hundreds of Excel spreadsheets. You have a portfolio of properties, and you get hundreds of spreadsheets that may contain data that is significantly outdated. And then the owner tries to understand the value of these assets as well as sell these assets in order to shore up their balance sheet. And we as bankers, we were forced to operate with a limited amount of information and dated information. And I thought at the time, well, there's much better way. You have billions of dollars of your investment in real estate. You definitely can manage it better if you didn't have to rely on hundreds of spreadsheets. So that's where initial intuition came from. And especially now in this, our world is becoming more and more digitalized. We generate so much digital trail. Today, it's so much easier to understand, like I'm here in San Francisco, I can look up any property in the US and understand what is even foot traffic in front of any retail location. You have satellite data, you have cell phone data, and all of that is readily available. So back several years ago, that was my intuition that the world is becoming a lot more digitalized and we can start using all of this data to make much smarter decisions. So back in 2008 and 2009, a lot of money were lost. Some people made a lot of money because they understood the value of real estate better, the potential of real estate, and if there was a blip in valuations for a short period of time, some people were able to see that is going to be short term, and the intrinsic value of real estate there is a lot higher than people think, and those are the people who were able to make a lot of money. And the same is true today. We see valuations now changing dramatically, or people having very diverse view of what valuation of the same property should be. And there will be a lot of losers in this market, and there will be some winners as well. My initial background, my original background is mathematics. So I do believe in value of data and analysis. And now what we're doing is bringing that to property owner, property investor.
Yeah, so you mentioned that in today's market, you know, there's going to be winners, there's going to be losers. In your opinion, who are the winners going to be here?
Well, it's not an easy question. I do think access to capital is critical, and it's not only for small. It's true not only for small investors, but frankly, even for large investors. There will be a lot of. I was just before getting on this call, I was listening to a conversation about 1.5 trillion of debt maturities coming up in commercial real estate space in the next couple of years, and not everybody will be able to refinance. So really, access to capital will be critical for those looking to refinance from essentially zero interest rate. Debt that they had to, 7, 8, 9% interest rate debt that they have to refinance to. So who will be able to get that financing, and whether out the storm, that will depend on the relationships, on the quality of the sponsor and access to capital.
So we're in an interesting time. Like you were talking about how you're into data and technology, where real estate is kind of, it wasn't very technologically savvy. It's kind of becoming more technologically savvy. And how did you decide kind of where to get in, and how do you think it's progressing on that front? Like, what are we going to see technologically inside real estate in the next, 4, 5, 6 years? Kind of what's coming on that front?
Yeah, well, I wish I had a crystal ball. If I did.
You have a better crystal ball than I do.
I'm not sure about that. We do see technology, there's definitely significant acceleration in technology adoption, and for companies large and small on different facets of a real estate transaction looking to digitalize their operations. Definitely COVID environment helped ultimately. So we work both. As I mentioned, we work with different players in the real estate market. We work both with property owners, investors, as well as lenders, and everybody in between. We also work with brokers. We work with other parties involved in a transaction. So initially, in fact, we started in the space by working with large lenders, asset managers, REITs. And now we're also expanding into smaller property owner market as well. But what we're seeing there is both on a large enterprise and small property owners increasing demand for digital solutions. Back during COVID, nobody could. There are certain times when people couldn't travel, they couldn't necessarily go and see the property, but at the same time, financing was easy, and there were still a lot of interesting deals that people were looking to make. And we heard a lot from our investor base. Investors were looking for digital solutions. They were using our platform, but they were continuing asking for more and more features. We were focusing a lot on underwriting, helping underwrite the property, but they were looking for more capabilities. Oh, can we sign the contract online? Or can we get insurance online for the property? Can we get all the financing terms online and close the financing as well online? So a lot of demand for digitalization actually is coming from investors, and we actually gradually catching up to this demand.
Yeah. Now on your website, the three big services that y'all publicize are property valuation, affordable financing, and portfolio monitoring. Now, when it comes to property valuation and affordable financing, have you gotten any pushback from the industry in general about, you're you know, I'm assuming the property valuation looks kind of similar to like a Zestimate, for example, but I'm assuming it has a lot more information behind it than just like a Zestimate does. Can you talk a little bit about kind of how these fit into the marketplace and what, if any, pushback you've gotten with these services?
Mm-hmm. No, of course. I personally believe that, especially in income generating real estate, valuation underwriting is more art than science. And this, you can have two people looking at the same property. You can have even two appraisers looking at the same property, and they will see totally different values. So, and it really depends. It depends on the strategy. It depends on available capital. It depends on so many different things. And this is how, and because I'm a banker before, and I was valuing different businesses pretty much all my life, that's the approach that we took. It is art, and ultimately it's art created by the user. So our interface, we're not necessarily like a Zestimate in a way. We have a free version where users can sign up and they get a lot of information about the property and sales comps and market information, and they can play around with actually even the sales comps and select the right ones, depending on their specific situation on the property, and get to certain valuation ranges that may be different from what was automatically generated. But even then, ultimately, we are focusing on income generating real estate. And therefore, the important part of our platform is really being able to understand the income, understanding the cash flow, and model this cash flow in the easy, intuitive way. Significant portion of our software in the platform is targeted at that part of the process, where we automatically create essentially financial model in the cloud, and the user. And yes, it does spit out a certain value of the property, but ultimately it's the user, the end recipient, that can go in and change different assumptions, how they see the property developing within our portfolio, how much value they can generate themselves, what is the value of the property for them, and what is the return that they can get given their situation, given their plan for the property. What it's a long way of saying is we don't necessarily provide this is the value, you know, 1 million or 2 million, and that's it. No, we may speed up some range, but ultimately we generate financial model in the cloud where the user can go in and play around with different scenarios and see what are the ranges of the value of the property depending how they see it.
Yeah, so you could potentially use this as a way to, you know, do an appraisal rebuttal form. Basically, you can go in and say, you know, I think based on these properties, I think you're wrong. I mean, it never works, let's be honest. You very rarely get an appraiser to change their mind, but you could potentially utilize this for something like that.
Exactly. As I mentioned, we sell to enterprise market as well. And we don't necessarily sell to appraisers, but we constantly showing to appraisers because we value their input. And to be honest, some of them really hate it. And the reason they hate it is because they look at it and say, hey, within 15 minutes, you did exactly what I do. You took my job. You exactly replicated exactly the steps that I do when I try to analyze property financial performance and its cash flow and value the property. And you did it within 10, 15 minutes. So there's that. But it's also a testament to that the way we do it is exactly how they do it. And that's why it's transparent.
Yeah. So it sounds like you were mentioning before, you know, all these spreadsheets. Is your thing, is it kind of like almost, I'm trying to understand from the analyzing cash flow, is it kind of like a form of like a QuickBooks entry that you're looking at, or kind of how do you manage inside the cash flow? Like, are there certain things that y'all find more important than others, or kind of what metrics are you looking at? Talk a little bit more about how you track and help people with the income side of things.
Mm-hmm. Important part of our software is really ingesting data from financial documents. The user just upload financial documents. We try to eliminate as much as possible any data input. So we ingest data from financial documents that could be financial statements, tax returns, could be QuickBooks or output of QuickBooks, could be just random Excel files that maybe property owner or buyer received from a broker, or maybe info memo, investment memorandum that they may have gotten from the broker as well. So we ingest the data from there, and we essentially generate financial model based on this data. But then the user can go in and make certain changes. In terms of how we look at cash flows, I think it's we just use the industry standard approaches. Again, because we work so much with lenders, we know how they look at it as well. So we tend to be conservative where it's needed. Because again, the success of the transaction oftentimes depends on financing. So you need to be able to present a credible story in terms of the cash flow to the financing sources so they can also provide you better financing terms.
And what do you, like, whenever you're looking at a real estate deal, what are some of the metrics that you like to identify if something's a good deal or not? Are there any specific things that you hone in on as you're looking at a deal?
Definitely, I think it's important to, to put aside any buzz about certain specific locations and try to be as level-headed and ultimately as level-headed as possible about certain property, not to be too emotional or emotionally connected to the property, and really take a hard look at the cash flows, sustainability of the cash flows, and adding the cushion that is needed. Should your rents go down? Should the cap rates go up? What is the ratio that you can generate in the medium to longer term? It's much harder to judge some short-term returns, especially if it's situation specific. But ultimately, in terms of the metrics, I don't think that we use anything that is very different return on investment, especially over their three to 5 years is important. That takes into account all different strategies that you can deploy, whether it's cost reduction or vacancy reduction or rent increases. And ultimately, again, you need to look at the complete picture, especially now that the situation shows that financing terms can change dramatically, and that can make it or break it, the deal.
Yeah. And now you mentioned, you were in the banking sector back during the fun days at the beginning of the, in 2008 times. Would you, and a lot of people during the COVID times were concerned that, it might be a return to the 08 situation, the Great Recession we had then. How would you compare where mortgages and financing are today versus where they were back then, and kind of where are we in terms of, is there any similarity between the two?
Well, that is a great question. That's a billion-dollar question. Ultimately, I keep asking other people as well what they think about the current situation, and the smartest people say they have no clue in reality. They in the sense, they don't know where it's all headed. Today we hear one thing. Back, I was at a conference a couple of months ago, and people, there's a very significant cohort of people that were very optimistic about where the market is going. But as we see how things developed the last few months, if anything, they went down in terms of optimism. If anything, it went down significantly, especially with the recent banking crisis, which I think is largely over. We do talk with property owners daily. We do talk with lenders as well daily, and we always ask similar questions. What do you see in the market? What's your strategy? How do you see the second half of the year developing? So we're keeping track of the pulse of the market, but it's shifting. I know that many lenders believe that the blip in the market, the banking crisis that just recently happened with SVB and Signature Bank, is more of a short-term development. They don't see significant long-term impact of this particular events. That said, there's a potential risk of recession coming up, and the probability of recession is only increasing in terms of how different market players see it. So, yeah, I don't, I wish I had a crystal ball here, but I tend to be a lot more optimistic than other people. So I do think that the second half, as rates stabilize, I do think that deal making will start coming back from essentially a standstill, both on the property owner, on investment side, on the equity side, as well as on the lending side. As we know, many lenders, they essentially stopped lending because they were afraid to catch a falling knife. And some of them did, especially end of last year. Some alternative lenders went out of business because they lost a lot of money. They got caught in between interest rate hikes. That's why a lot of lenders actually stopped lending activity this year so far. But as rates stabilize, which I think we are getting there, lending activity will resume, albeit at higher interest rate levels still, but it will resume. Similarly on the property owner side and the equity side, we work with many investors that are now actively touring the country, looking at different investment opportunities. And we know already some sellers have been able to adjust their pricing expectations on the properties that they're looking to sell. And there are deals happening. And I think there will be increasingly more of that activity in the second half of this year. What do you think, by the way, Adam? What's your view?
Well, I'm always optimistic if you're in the right market. It's really just finding the market that'll actually make sense. And, you know, I feel like we're in pretty solid ones, but there are definitely some areas where I would not want to touch and they're usually the higher priced ones when it comes to real estate. But you mentioned talking to investors, talking with lenders. Are there any markets that you've heard from, you know, either buyers or lenders that seem like they're kind of coming up or becoming, you know, have stayed really stable through the pandemic and now through the concerns about any recession, that you think, hey, this one could be a, you know, pretty solid play, or maybe something you haven't heard before that you think is a good place to go now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I think multifamily has for a long time been a darling of both investors and lenders. And I know some of the markets are really challenging now on the multifamily side, both from a cash flow generation, maybe rents going down, a vacancy increasing, or just cap rates are not fully there to get their returns. But I think multifamily still remains a darling of many investors are still looking to invest more in multifamily, but you need to be smart about it. You're absolutely right. You need to know the markets. I think investors look for still analyze demographic shifts that have happened or are happening as a result of COVID and working from home. Many people believe that to some degree, working from home will remain in place in the long term, maybe not to the same degree as we've seen during COVID times, but to a certain degree it will remain. And therefore there are certain areas that will continue seeing influx of new population of renters. So I know many investors look for these demographic shifts and see where demand will continue growing. And in certain areas, demand is not as high. I'm in San Francisco, downtown San Francisco. I can tell that people have fled the city and they haven't fully come back. We've seen some come back now that some employers are demanding working from office, at least part-time. But it's still very, very far from where it was prior to COVID. And I almost tend to believe that San Francisco will actually change permanently. So, going back to your question, it's watching demographic trends on multifamily side. I know that retail is still, many investors are focusing on retail. And part of it because of the COVID and the shutdown and increasingly more and more food traffic getting back to the regular retail. What else? I think another trend is looking at the hotels and looking how to reposition them to be used as a workplace workforce housing or maybe short-term to medium-term type of housing, like longer stay hotels. So I think that's also a trend, which is probably something started during COVID, as a result of COVID, as a result of shifting demographic trends and how people get, how people work now.
Yeah. And so, you know, looking at your site and what we've talked about, the services you offer, who is your customer avatar? Like, who should be listening to this and going, you know what, I'm a good fit for what Smart Capital is doing?
Mm-hmm. So we work with, originally we started with large lenders, REITs, investors, large investors. So ultimately the enterprise, that's what we are, where we started back several years ago. And then ultimately the majority of the market is smaller property owner, smaller investor. I think there's statistics out there that 80% of real estate, income generating real estate in the US is valued under $5 million. And this real estate is owned by small to mid-sized property owner investor. And ultimately our platform, we added a lot of functionality and capabilities within to our platform with a view of helping a smaller and mid-sized property owner investor. Ultimately, we are focusing on income generating real estate, so not personal residence real estate, because the essential part of what we do is analyzing the cash flows, analyzing the income and value, underwriting the property based on that, and managing the workflows around that, whether it's getting financing or closing transactions and so forth. So it's a pretty, to summarize, it's a pretty wide range. We work, for example, with small investors that could be even have another job. They may be a software developer. They may be a doctor. They may be a lawyer. And for them, investing in real estate is their passion, which is a side business for them. However, this is how they plan to generate wealth for themselves and for their families and for future generation of their families. So we work with those investors who may invest just, you know, who can buy, who looking to buy multifamily property somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Ohio for $600K. And of course, these prices are not, it's not possible to get this type of pricing here in California where we're based. But a lot of software engineers, they're here and they looking to invest outside of California because pricing in California is still, it's still very difficult to get the returns that you like with the cap rates here in California. So it could be small investor, it could be mid-size investor, it could be even REITs. We still work with large enterprise. And ultimately the whole genesis of our platform is whatever we build, the sophisticated tools for larger investors and lenders, we are bringing to the small investors, to the small investor base. Because ultimately that's the backbone. The backbone of, frankly, U.S. economy and a small business as well.
All right. Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. The website is smartcapital.center. That's smartcapital.center. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with today?
No. Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. I look forward to working together with all of you. And please reach out if you have any questions on any underwriting, on any property that you just want us to informally take a look at, or if you have any questions on financing or just looking to get additional insight on the market, we'd be happy to hop on a call and just share all we know. And yeah, I think it will be very interesting several months ahead for all of us, for all investors of all types.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Again, the website is smartcapital.center. If you want to check out some rental properties, you can head over to our website at renttoretirement.com. And don't forget, if you want a copy of Zach's Top 20 Markets to Invest in 2023, feel free to email that request to podcast@renttoretirement.com. And we'll get it out to you as soon as possible. And don't forget, if you leave a podcast review on whatever platform you use, send a screenshot of that review to podcast@renttoretirement.com. And we'll get you a $10 thank you gift card, as well as an entry into our $500 closing cost raffle that we have going on. Really appreciate the time you spent to educate yourself today. We'll talk to you on the next episode.